The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. All four Gospels have John the Baptist pointing to Jesus as the Lamb of God. So I'd like to begin by discussing the meaning of this reference, and then maybe to graduate into how this should affect us, how the Spirit teaches us and calls us through a reflection on the Lamb of God. If you go back into ancient religions, all ancient religions, you will find one thing in common. They all made sacrifices. And sacrifices were usually attached to the first things of creation, the perfect things of creation, the first harvest, the unblemished lamb. You go back into the history of the people of Israel, back there in the book of Exodus, in chapter 12, you will remember that the people of Israel were told, "The lamb will be slain, and the blood of the lamb on your doorposts will be the sign that you will be saved." Remember that way back there in the book of Exodus. And so we have, if you share a Seder meal with your Jewish friends, the youngest one, the child, will ask the first question, "Why is this night special among all other nights?" Coming from the Haggadah, a sacred script of the Jewish people. And then they will go on to remember the blood of the Lamb as a sign of their salvation on the doorposts of their places, and then somehow they were saved in this whole dynamic of the beginning of the Exodus. So when Robert Barron, rather interestingly, says he took a survey to ask people what this means, that Jesus is the Lamb, what does this Lamb mean? And people said, well, a Lamb is gentle, and a Lamb is lovable, and a Lamb is nice. And he said, that's true about the lambs, maybe, but that's not what this means. That's what we think when we reflect on the lamb and the implications of a lamb's presence. But if you go back into what the people heard when John said this, they heard the lamb of sacrifice. The Lamb of God will be the one who will be sacrificed to save his people. And read on there in the first chapter. I'm going to give you references in Scripture here because I know a number of you have your Bibles out at home watching this, and you look up these things and you write little notes. I know because you email me and tell me. And if I give you a wrong reference, you'll tell me. So I won't give you a wrong reference. But if you look at the first chapter of the book of John, John's Gospel, chapter verse 36 there, you have these first disciples, they're disciples of John the Baptist. And this is what John wants. He wants people to see the Lamb of God. And these two disciples follow Jesus. When John the Baptist points out, there's the Lamb of God, they follow him. And Jesus turns around and he said, what are you looking for? It's rather interesting. The first thing that Jesus says in the Gospel of John is a question. And the answer is a question. You'd think they were Irish. They answered a question with a question. They said, where do you live? And he said, come and see. And they went and spent the day with him. And when they left him, one of them, named Andrew, goes and finds his brother Peter and says, we have found the Messiah. And then Peter is brought to Jesus. That's the way it appears in the Gospel of John. So when John the Baptist points out Jesus as the Lamb of God, he is inviting those who see the Lamb of God to follow the Lamb, to follow the Lamb of sacrifice. What does this mean to us? It means a call to discipleship. And there are three levels of discipleship. Rollheiser writes about this. Three levels of discipleship. The first one is essential discipleship. It's our first decision to follow Jesus Christ. It's a little ego-centered. It's like these disciples that first followed Jesus Christ, but they wanted to get something out of it. It wasn't a generous act, it was opportunistic. And if you look at all three synoptic gospels, in chapter 18 in Matthew, 10 in Mark, and chapter 19 in Matthew, and 18 in Luke, if you look at all these three, you'll find that Peter comes to Jesus and he said, look, we've given up everything. What are we going to get back? What will we get out of this? We say that ourselves. I mean, when things go wrong, we say, hey, I'm following the Lamb. I'm following Jesus Christ. How come things like this happen to me? I don't deserve this. So what am I going to get out of it? People do that all the time with the church. They say, well, what's the church going to give me? That's essential discipleship. It's generous, but it's somewhat egocentric. It's the beginning of the following of Jesus Christ. It's a statement of life. We're searching. We look at things. We kind of search over here, search over there, and we decide that Jesus Christ will be the center of our prayer and the place of our salvation. Somehow, essential discipleship. The second level, says Rollheiser, is generative discipleship, or mature discipleship, sometimes called. And this is the discipleship of gifting. This is where, now that I have followed Jesus Christ, I will become a healing person. I will become a forgiving person. I will become generous. I will be involved in social justice. I'll help the poor and those who are on the margins, the undocumented persons, the person who are seeking a new life. I will be an instrument in generative discipleship. I will teach people how to live by the manner in which I live. That's generative discipleship. It's inclusive, it's embracive, it's healing, it's blessing. I'm giving life, generative. I'm teaching people how to live now by the manner in which I live. In this matured discipleship, I'm giving my life in matured discipleship. The third level is radical discipleship. And this is not to give your life, this is to give your death. To give your death in discipleship. To die. I was on retreat for the last week. I thought a lot about this. I mean, what does radical discipleship call us to do? To die. Teach people how to die. Die to resentment. Die to the wounds of the past. Die to control. Die to being demanding. Die to asking for recognition. Be free. Die. You will die many, many, many times before your life ends in this world. And in this discipleship, we teach people how to die. I had a wonderful man, parishioner here, named Raul. And Raul had terminal cancer. He died last year. And he used to come to see me all the time. And I saw him when he was in the last stages of his life. And he was a very simple man. He was a laboring person, a poor man, and absolutely incredibly inspiring. I said, "Now, Raul, are you afraid to die?" "No, no, I'm not afraid to die. I'm in the hands of God." "Do you have any anxiety?" "No, I don't have any anxiety about dying." "Any remorse in your life?" "No, I don't. God has forgiven me. Any failings in my life, they're forgiven." "You're free." "I am. I'm free. I'm free to give my death, to teach people how to die." Radical discipleship. And that's what it means when John the Baptist looks at Jesus and said, "There is the Lamb of God. Follow the Lamb." You will follow the Lamb in the beginning with essential discipleship. And then you will grow into generative, mature discipleship, where you'll find the Spirit moving you inside to bless people, to forgive people, to include people, to care about those who are struggling, to include those who are left out, to heal my family, to heal those who are alienated from me, to forgive those who are angry with me, not to demand equality, but to demand somehow generosity of spirit. And then we'll somewhere come to radical discipleship where we'll find the call of the Spirit is to die. To die to many things. What is it to which I am clinging, toward which I must die? It involves real life experiences like suffering. If you read the life of Renoir, who died at the beginning of the last century, the great French impressionistic artist, kind of a curious fellow, but in the last stages of his life, he had extreme arthritis, which caused him great, great pain. His hands were bandaged, and they had to place the brushes in his hands. It was very painful for him to paint. And they said, "Renoir, why do you keep painting when it's so painful?" And he said, "The pain will pass, but the beauty will always remain." That's radical discipleship. Love will always remain, and the act of kindness will live on. Teach people how to die, and they will come to life. And that's the extended meaning of John the Baptist pointing to Jesus says, "There is the Lamb of God. Don't follow me, follow the Lamb."